There comes a time in each man's life when he can't even believe his own eyes.
It's Manson Mitchell on the Weekend with Gary Manson, Suzanne Mitchell. A double shot of good conversation with great guests to power up your day. Manson Mitchell, you're on the air.
Thank you, Eric Kramer. Hi, everybody. Happy Saturday to you, wherever you may be. I'm Gary Mans.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
Together, we are Manson Mitchell in your ears for the hour, hoping that you're enjoying a good weekend. And we're happy once again to be working with Nathan Miller. Tall guy Nathan, how are you doing, senor?
Good morning, Gary and Suzanne. And it feels like it's been forever since I last talked with you on the show. We've had a lot going on this past month, it seems.
It has been very busy, and I'm wondering, we probably need to thank Mary Beckman for doing our show a couple weeks ago, yes?
Mary Beckman, thank you so much. She is terrific. Everything she says is heartfelt.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's nothing made up about her. She mm-hmm. speaks from the heart and the soul. Yeah. And we're always grateful when she can step in and take over for typically, yeah. I think, on a Saturday.
Yes, yes.
And we're grateful for her latest fine effort on our behalf.
And so between your travel schedule and our schedule, Nathan, you're right. We haven't been together in a while, but we are today, and we're happy to be with you and have you with us on a Saturday.
Well, it's great to have us all back together in unison.
Yep. Yeah, that's for sure. How's everything going? Okay?
Oh, it's going great. My trip to Kentucky, I don't know if I talked about it since I got back. It was nice, short, sweet, and to the point. And the little new one is doing really well, has the biggest, widest eyes whenever she's looking around. You might think she's part of a cartoon, but nope. She's just very amazed by what's going on.
Ah, okay. I like that. Very good. Uncle Nathan.
That's right.
Uncle Nathan. Well, we're all back together in Seattle, and we are triangulating our show between our producer in Seattle, our studio here in Florida, and our guest, who's in New Jersey. So
there's a story to be told there, and we're going to hear it momentarily as we say hello to Josie Varga. Let's give her mad props.
Josie Varga is a former magazine editor and communications consultant. Her life changed course when she received a validated dream message from a man who died in the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center. Forever transformed by her experience, she embarked on a spiritual journey as she vowed to help others understand that life truly never ends. She has written wonderful, wonderful books that fill our library shelves. And we will talk about those on the break at the bottom of the hour. We have so much to talk about with her today. The first time she was a guest with us was May of 2011, which was right before we moved to Florida. And this today, as far as if my records are accurate, is her 17th visit with us, because she has so many interesting things to say about the spirit world and afterlife communications. So thank you for being with us once again, Josie Varga. Good to have you with us today.
Hi, thank you for having me, guys. I can't believe 17, huh?
As far as I know, if my records are accurate, this is Sweet 16 was last time. You're at 17 now.
Oh,
today.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And so, Gary, right off the bat,
Josie. How did you enjoy the earthquake?
It was scary. It was scary. I happened to be sitting at my computer talking to my daughter. All of a sudden, the table started shaking, the house started shaking. And here in New Jersey on the East Coast, the first thing that comes to your mind is not earthquake. You know, and my daughter looked at me and said, "Oh my God, Mom, what's going on?" And I said, "I don't know. I thought maybe what happened? Did something hit the house, you know? Run downstairs. Everything's fine in the basement. Run back upstairs. Scream for my husband." And everything's still shaking. And finally, when everything subsided, we went outside to see what was going on. There were neighbors out there. And they were like, "Oh, my God, no. We just had an earthquake." So that was that was in the morning. And they told us that there would be aftershocks, you know, and about 6 o'clock, it happened again. I was told that there were a few aftershocks, but I only felt the one. So very interesting day. I mean, we'll see. We might get another one this week. We never know.
I heard on the news that the last time there was an earthquake of that magnitude on the East Coast was over 200 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what I heard.
And as you said, you think of that as being a West Coast phenomenon. You don't think about earthquakes on the East Coast, but there are fault lines under the earth and there are things moving under there. And
all
finally one hit you. Yeah.
Yeah, all the time. But we typically on this end don't feel it. So what made that get to a 4.8 or 4.7 to the point where we felt it the way it did? My husband told me that one of the guys he works with, the pictures fell from the wall and broke into pieces in his house. That's how much the house shook. So it was crazy. Everybody around here is still kind of freaking out about it.
I grew up in Southern California. So earthquakes were not unusual, but each one is unique. And I can still recall one evening I was drying dishes. My mom was washing. I was drying. And all of a sudden, the kitchen started to shake. And we just looked at each other like, earthquake. And when that happens, you see, it's not like a hurricane where you prepare and it's coming. It's 2 days away. It's 1 day away, expected between this time frame as specifically as they can predict. But when an earthquake comes on in California, I tell you, the animals know before the people know.
Yes.
If the animals are acting off somehow, then, you know, you might not instantly think earthquake. But I have heard, this is many years ago, I have heard, for example, that in China, people start to expect an earthquake if the neighborhood dogs are barking like crazy all of a sudden for no apparent reason.
Yeah, and that happened yesterday. My girlfriend Vanessa called me and told me 10 minutes before the earthquake hit, her cat Charlie was acting very strange and she couldn't figure out what was going on with the cat. The cat started meowing like crazy and clawing onto her. And she was like, what's the matter? What's the matter? And then the earthquake hit. My daughter's cat was sleeping on the couch. He did not move, did not wake up. So it didn't even faze him. But my friend Vanessa, no, her cat was acting very strangely. And they said around here that they noticed there were a bunch of birds that actually went underneath little bushes, you know, that actually flew down and went under bushes. And that's odd. You know, I was like, really? My neighbor told me he noticed a bunch of birds hanging below a bush, which is weird. I've never seen anything like that.
Yes, and I've experienced earthquakes, several in Southern California, and one in Seattle, where the epicenter, I believe, was underneath Olympia. And I remember being in my workplace, and my office wouldn't stop rumbling. And that was the second scariest to me, because one in California just about shook me out of bed early one morning there. But the one in Western Washington, it was just, it ripples out from the epicenter there. And I remember, and I was about, an hour north of Olympia at the time, sitting in an office, and it just wouldn't stop shaking. And I was saying, okay, now is something going to collapse on me? What do? I stayed put, and eventually it stopped.
Gary, in New York yesterday, thinking, oh my God, you know, 9/11 all over again. I mean, that must have been a very scary feeling.
That didn't even occur to me. But yes, if there was a lot of shaking, they would be wondering, you know, if they were being attacked again.
And when an earthquake is on you, it is on you.
Yes.
So exactly. The preparation has to be long before any earthquake hits to understand the things that you need to do. And, you know, it's funny because I'm not here to dispense advice, so please don't take what I say as any kind of gospel. But my inclination personally is to stay put and just be aware, whereas other people might feel the urge to run outside Now, is that the safest thing in their case? I can't say.
Yeah,
but I've never done that. I stay put, and I actually just try to keep my bearings there and to remain standing or sitting as opposed to going underneath the dining room table, for example. I don't know whether that would be safer for me or not. And that's the nature of the event. It's just happening right now, and you have to respond instantaneously.
Right, right. And, you know, like I said, there were neighbors that ran outside, including John, my husband, wondering if something occurred outside, you know, because we weren't thinking earthquake initially, even though in the back of your mind, like, oh, my God, this feels like an earthquake. How can that be? You know? It was really strange. I mean, who knows? I don't think we'll ever see anything like that here in this lifetime again. But who knows?
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now that we have taken care of the earthquake, you know, when we talk to you, Josie, we bring you on with regularity because of the interesting work that you have done now for over 20 years, and that is you are a collector of stories about afterlife communications. Two of your books are called Visits from Heaven and Visits to Heaven. And this is the type of thing where, you know, people are writing about communications they've had with deceased loved ones that are just so fascinating. Communications with the spirit world, with an afterlife. And you have put yourself in a place where people contact you, you collect these great stories, and then assemble them so that for anyone who's ever had a high strangeness encounter, they can feel like they're among friends if they're reading what you've written, because you have been in contact with so many people like that.
Well, these experiences are far more common than people think. You know, over 50% of people have had some form of afterlife communication. And that goes across any religion, you know, Muslim, Catholic, Protestant, it doesn't matter. But I don't honestly, guys, put much weight on the statistics. And I'll tell you why. In my experience, over the years, close to 20 years, I find that even though people are more willing to share their experiences today, there are still a lot more people who decide not to. You know, they don't want to be perceived as crazy, so they decide not to share their experiences. So I think what I'm saying, you know, recently they did a study in 23, the Pew Forum did the study, and they said it's over 50%. I think the number is probably a lot higher than that because of the people who don't come forward, who don't share their experiences. And that's another reason why I do what I do, because I give people an avenue. I give people a way to share their experiences, even on my groups on Facebook. And you'd be surprised. There are people who share their experiences publicly, but there are many, many more who write me privately and say, I want to share my experience with you, but I don't want it to be shared publicly. And I listen and I offer my advice. But like I said, these experiences are far more common than you realize. But you have to be open to it. Yeah, I can tell you about a few things that have happened recently in my home. About 3 weeks ago, I had a very lucid dream. And in the dream, well, let me put it this way. I woke up and I'm sitting there and I'm saying to myself, what was that? Typically when I wake up and I have this lucid dream, I remember everything. But this particular morning, the only thing I could remember was seeing my father, who died in February 22, and my niece, Brooke, okay? So I remember seeing the two of them, and I remembered something being said about a baby, okay? And I woke up and I said to my husband, John, I said, oh, that was really weird. I remember my father. I remember seeing Brooke. I remember something being said about a baby, but I don't remember what. And he looked at me and he said, oh, well, maybe she's pregnant again. Maybe your father's trying to say she's pregnant again. And I said, oh, no, she has a 1-year-old. And I'm thinking in my mind, it's too soon. You know, I wasn't told that she was pregnant. So I wasn't thinking along those lines. The following week, my mother was going back to Florida, and I had the family over. So all of a sudden, my niece, Brooke, walks in the door, and she walks into the kitchen, and she looks at me, and she says, I've got news. And I turned to her, and I was like, oh, my God. And she said, yes, I'm going to have another baby. And at first, I was like, oh, congratulations. And then it hit me. Oh, my God, the dream. I said, Brooke, I said, listen to what happened. And she was like, oh, my God. She said, did Grandpa say whether it was a boy or a girl? I'm like, no. I'm like, no. So everybody was here that evening. And everybody leaves. I go and I look at my phone. And I see my father's name on my phone. And at first, I thought I was seeing things, because obviously my father passed in 22. You know, why would I see my father's name? According to my phone, I dialed my father at 4:55. I was nowhere near my phone. I was cooking. I had the family here. I didn't even touch my phone. So that was a complete shock. But this morning, I said to myself, why 4:55? Okay. Why not call me? You know, why not 5 o'clock? Why not 4 o'clock? Why 4:55? Well, 4:55 is an angel number which indicates change and the need for change and a reminder that positive thoughts bring positive results. That's very significant. Because my mother is in the process of trying to decide what she's going to do. She's 87 years old. She has a home in Florida, but she's having a very hard time upkeeping the house and being there by herself. And the reason that really struck me, guys, is because right before my family got here, they got here a little bit after 5, and I'm in the house preparing the food and everything, right? My mother's in the kitchen with me. And that is exactly what I was talking to my mother about. I was saying to my mother, Mom, you have to think about this. You have to decide what you're going to do. Are you going to stay in New Jersey? Are you going to, you know, stay in Florida? You have to make a decision. And that is what 4:55 signifies. So I was pretty amazed by that. So I have received several signs from my father, and that was pretty amazing.
When these sorts of events happen, Josie, do you find that you have a commonality with the people who report their own experiences to you going back years? Are there recognizable signs and symbols, as it were, that tell you, oh, this is that particular kind of experience? Because even though each one would be unique, I'm quite sure, there might be aspects or characteristics of these experiences that can be shared so that people, in a way, are speaking a common language about their own experiences.
Well, everybody, it really depends on, that's a good question, Gary, but It depends on the person and also the deceased person who's trying to get that message to you, because they know you, right? And they're trying to figure out, well, how do I get a message to Josie so that she recognizes that it's me, okay? Now, my godmother, for example, she died in 2010. And after she died, I started noticing these dimes all over the place, okay? 2010, you know, dimes. And once I acknowledged that I recognized that it was from my godmother, I started getting these dimes everywhere. So it depends on the person, because on the other side, they're trying to figure out how best to come through to you so that you recognize that it's them. And when you do recognize that it's them, they will continue to repeat that sign. And there's many ways, of course, that they come through to us. The physical sign, the dreams, and, you know, clairaudience, sensations, smell. I've received many signs that way where, you know, I'll hear things in my mind. I'll get messages in my mind. That happens all the time. And third-party signs. There was a recent one that I wanted to mention. You wanted my daughter to come on here and share her story, but she couldn't. So she had me write this down so I'd tell it properly. But recently, my daughter told me that she had a very vivid, lucid dream. And in the dream, she's walking into the foyer in my house. She walks into the foyer and she sees a shadow. And she said in the dream, she followed the shadow. She followed the shadow into my living room. And as she's looking at the shadow transforms into a white orb. Okay? So she's still looking at this. It's now a white orb. Now this orb transforms into my father. And my father looks at her and says, Leah, sit down. I want to talk to you. And she said, Mom, at that moment, you began to walk down the steps. And she said, my daughter Erica was behind me. That's one thing I can't figure out, why Erica was in the dream behind me. But my daughter, she said, was behind me. So I walk down the steps. Leah sees me and says, Mom, don't freak out. Pop-Pop is here. And she said, the minute she said that, I started crying. And when I started crying, my father disappeared.
Mm, okay. Wow.
Now, this dream, unbeknownst to Leah, is so incredibly evidential and so significant. And I'll tell you why. Right before that, about 3 days before that, I'm sitting in my dining room. And it's kind of like an L shape, you know, I could see the living room. And I saw the shadow. I saw an orb. And I, you know, I see it often. And I sensed very clearly that it was my father. So I started to talk to him. And I apologized. And I said, Dad, I'm sorry. Every time I try to talk to you, you know, I'm so overcome with grief that I cry, and I'm sorry, I haven't been able to talk to you, okay? That's one thing. And besides that, my mother constantly tells me that when she's sitting in her living room, she sees a white orb come towards her. So I said to my mother, well, Mom, did you make sure that it didn't come from the outside, you know, it wasn't a car passing or anything like that? And she said, no. You have to imagine she's looking at the kitchen, and beyond that is her bedroom. And she says that orb literally comes through the bedroom, through the kitchen, into the living room. And she's watching this white orb. Another thing that's significant here, when I start crying, my father disappears. Well, that's significant because often, when we are engrossed in grief, we block that communication. It's harder for those on the other side to get through to us. So, you know, I remember I'm sitting there and I'm telling my daughter Leah this story, and she was like, oh my God, Mom, that is amazing. But I think it was my father's way of telling me, I've been trying to come through to you, but you know, your grief is blocking me. And that's the reason when she says in the dream, Mom, don't freak out. Pop-Pop is here. And I start crying. And my father immediately disappears. But he does come to me sometimes in dreams. And that's the you know, most common way, typically. Well, other than clear sentience, because how many times have you been in a room, guys, and you feel the presence of a spirit? You know, that's extremely common. But besides that, dreams are a common way that they come through to us because our barriers are down, so to speak. It's easier for them to come through in that twilight stage, you know, and get their messages through to us.
Maybe that has a great deal to do, as I think you're suggesting, Josie, with one's suggestibility there. And when I say that, perhaps that's the wrong word, because there are people who say, well, you're suggestible, and so you think that your parent is coming through, and I don't mean it in that way. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the better term would be receptivity, where your barriers are down.
Yes.
And maybe that's something on the other side of the break and our marketing piece, which we will reserve for you when we come back. We can talk about that receptivity to messages, characteristically, I'm happy to say, loving messages from the other side, from our loved ones or from people that we have known who have messages for us. That receptivity seems to be a key to having a more meaningful or more successful type of experience when they happen. I've thought a lot about that, and we can take that up on the, pardon the pun, on the other side of the Manson Mitchell one and only break we will take during this hour. Josie Varga is with us 17 times, and everyone a winner. We're always happy to have Josie Varga with us. Let us take a couple of minutes, and when we come back, we will do the marketing piece and tell you how you can get in touch with Josie Varga, and then we will continue pursuing this conversation, the kind that we love to do on Manson Mitchell. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Anson Williams from Happy Days, and I'm so excited to tell you about American Road. It is the best car travel magazine in the world. They have the most fantastic adventures detailed in each magazine. With all your itinerary, we could just jump in the car with your family and have the most fabulous adventures you've ever had in your life. Please, get a copy of American Road and start your own adventure.
Staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to mansonmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Manson Mitchell Show page at facebook.com/mansonmitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell. Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is mansonmitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 AM or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
Terry Loving wants to help you with your online marketing challenges right now. She has several courses she is giving away to help you get your business working for you online. Yes, giving away. WordPress websites are her specialty, yet her technical skills go way beyond that. Check out her blog at terryloving.com or email her directly at terry@terryloving.com. That's terry@terryloving.com.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomed Alicia Michelle, remarkable for her astrological insights, who talks about the upcoming planetary alignments and how they may affect our economy at this time.
On Saturday, Matt Shea sits in the guest host seat and along with Skip and Sharon Line Gang talk about their most memorable ghost hunts and surprising after effects.
Bringing you mastery and mystery since 2007.
We are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk AM 1150.
Easy on the ears, good for the soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Manson Mitchell and our very special guest, Josie Varga, who is with us today for the 17th time. If we are spirits in the material world and there are spirits in the spirit world, can we talk to one another? Josie Varga says, oh, yes, we can. And Josie, to that end, you have written a number of books. I'd like you to let our listeners know about your website, social media, your books, and anything that you would like to share so that they can get connected to you?
They can reach out to me on my website, which is josievarga.com. They can also email me through the website. I love to hear from my readers, and I always try to get back to everyone. They can also join me on Facebook. I have a few Facebook groups. One is Visits from Heaven, the private group. The open group. One is Visits from Heaven 2, the private group. And also another one called Proof of the Afterlife. But again, if you email me, I will make every effort to email you back.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good. We were talking just briefly during the break about how often messages come through dreams, and people may not realize that their dreams really are messages from the spirit world for the reasons that you spoke about before the break. And that is, Gary used the word receptivity, that we are more receptive in a dream state because a lot of, as you said, our barriers are down. And so we really should pay a little bit more attention to our dreams, because we can be getting a lot of communications from our loved ones in spirit through those dreams. I did want to ask you something, and I don't want to assume I know the answer, so I'm going to pose the question to you. And that is, when we are receiving messages from the spirit world, And we don't know, we're trying to distinguish between a message and an actual dream. Are the messages always loving, or can the messages sometimes be fearful?
It's interesting. I guess the question there is, depends on the content, because think of it. If you're a loved one on the other side, and you know that something's going to happen to your loved one on this side, you're going to want to contact them and let them know. And there have been many people that have received warnings in their dreams from their loved ones. So, it's a warning. You might find that fearful. Yes. But it's not that they want to scare us. They're trying to figure out how to get the message across to us from their end. But sometimes, yes, the message can come across as fearful and negative. But I don't think, think of it this way. Would your loved one want to scare you when they were here in real life? No. And they certainly don't want to scare you on the other side either. But in some cases, people might perceive it that way. But I don't think that our loved ones want to scare us at all. They're just trying to warn us.
I've got a related question, something Gary and I were talking about in preparing for today's show. And that is the idea, with all the messages that you have been involved with people, mm-hmm. would you say that people are more relieved or more unsettled to hear from their ones in the spirit world? Is it equal, or is it more relief, or is it more being unsettled?
It's interesting, because there was a new study that just came out about that, and they found that people are more relieved than anything. They are happy. It makes people feel good to receive a sign from the other side. It helps people get through their grief. I mean, look at, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, oh, but, you write about the afterlife. Why are you so upset about your father? And I hate that question, because I am upset because I miss my father in the physical. It doesn't mean that I doubt the existence of an afterlife. I 100% believe in the existence of an afterlife. And I know that my father is in a good place, and he's still with me, but I miss him in the physical, that's why books like mine and the other books that are out there are so important, because if people understand that it's not the end. Okay, it's not the end. They will see their loved ones again. It's going to bring them a level of comfort. Take me, for example. I don't know how. I mean, I've had a lot of loss in my family, unfortunately. And I don't know where I would be, how I would deal with it, had I not done all this research on the afterlife. I feel like I'm in a much better place, you know, because I understand that, you know, life continues. So to answer your question, I think that people are much more happier and in a better place because of their belief in the afterlife.
Josie, let me pick up on this by going back to what you said about your father's disappearance when you begin to cry. You are not the only person to tell me of this kind of reaction from the loved one, whoever that may be, on the other side, that people will experience. It seems, for reasons that I don't understand, and so I'm going to ask you about it. I'd love, you have far more insight than I do. I don't know why a loved one on the other side would feel blocked or even need to disappear and foreshorten the experience that you're having because of our grief. If our grief creates a block, I wonder how that works in, as it were, the mechanics of afterlife communication. Is it perhaps painful to someone on the other side? And we like to think of the spirit world, or call it heaven, as a place where we are pain-free. And yet, if a loved one feels like they can no longer communicate with you at that time because of the depth of your grief, there has to be some kind of communication of that affect to your loved one, to your dad, for example, that he feels like it's not time yet because I can't break through Josie's grief. I just wonder how that works or doesn't work in attempts to reach across the veil to us on the part of our loved ones.
That's what you were saying before, Gary. You were talking about the need to be receptive, okay? Well, think of it this way. When we're grieving, our brain is on overload. You know, we're very emotional and it's like we can't think of anything else because we're so focused on that sadness. We're so focused on that grief. So it's more for us. It's not that they can't come through to us, but we can't perceive them because of our emotional state. You understand what I'm saying? It's that makes it harder for him to come through.
So it is a blockage.
It is a blockage, yes, in many ways. You know, our grief, you know, I guess you could call it a mental blockage, you know, because they're around us all the time. You know, sometimes we perceive them, sometimes we don't. But if we're grieving and in a very, it's like if I'm maybe not in grief, but say I'm overwhelmed with a problem, some other problem in my life. I might not be able to write and do a project that I'm working on because I'm so overwhelmed with this other thing on my mind. That's why it's so important to stay focused, do things like meditate, because you really have to keep an open mind in order to receive these messages. So yes, it is in many ways a blockage.
You called it a mental block, but simultaneously, I hear you really talking about it as it were an emotional block.
Yes.
And so the idea of meditation is about calming yourself down. That open space cannot be created when you are in a high state of emotion, whether it's grief or anxiety or fear or whatever it is. If it's a negative emotion, the emotion itself may be the block.
Exactly. And when I say mental block, I mean, Suzanne, because your brain is like on overload. Like you're so focused on all these other negative, sad things that you can't open yourself to positivity and receiving these other signs. But you have to remember that things have to be right on both sides of the veil. Okay. And they have to be able to come through to us. And sometimes if we're not in the right state, they can't come through to us. And I think that's what my father was trying to say. You know, like my mother, for example, my mother is having a very, very tough time. And she'll say to me, "Oh, Josie, you know, I tell your father to come through to me all the time, but he doesn't." But I say, "Well, Mom, you know, do you talk to him? Do you ask him to come through?" And she'll say, "Oh, but I can't handle it. You know, I cry. I can't help it." So I think once she can get past that and maybe quiet her mind a little bit, she might feel my father a little more, you know. But I have no doubt. I have no doubt that my father is around. Like I said, I would see the orbs. I would see the shadows, and I could just sense my father. And I talked to him that day, and then 3 days later, Leah has this dream. And my father appears to Leah as a shadow and as an orb. So that's very significant.
I have a question I don't think I've asked you before. And that is, when you're talking about it being a two-way street between from heaven and to heaven, is it ever in your experience from what you have heard from people that the spirit on the other side is working, doing some inner work of their own consciousness on the other side, so that perhaps they are unable to come through, even if you are receptive on the material side, that maybe in the spirit realm, they are going through some inner work that prevents them from being available. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yes. Very good question. People ask me all the time, you know, how soon can spirits come through? Can they come through right away? And the answer is yes, they can. However, it doesn't mean that every spirit can come through right away, because we're all on different levels. You know, some spirits, you know, need time to get, you know, acclimated, if you will, to their new existence, you know. And sometimes they'll die a traumatic death, and it'll take them time to even get used to the idea of, oh my God, you know, I died. You know what I mean? So we're not at the same level when we get to the other side. Some of us can come through right away, and some of us it takes a little bit of time. So you're right, Suzanne. They might want to come through on the other side, and they can't, because spiritually their energy is not strong enough. Okay. And I'll give you a good example about this one. This blew my mind. My godmother had passed away, and I was extremely close to my godmother. Okay. I think it was the day after or 2 days after she died. We didn't have the wake yet. The wake was the next day. And I had a phone call scheduled with a psychic medium named Mark Nelson. And we weren't talking about a reading or anything. We were talking about something business related. And I got on the phone with him. And he said to me, "Josie, do you want me to connect with your godmother?" And my first thought was, I said, "Well, Mark, she just died." And he said, "Well, it's okay. Let me see what I could get." Again, we haven't even had to wake yet. And he said, "Josie," he described her personality. She was a little short woman, but, you know, with a heart of gold and a strong personality, you know. And he said to me, "She's pointing to her dress. She keeps pointing to her dress. Why is she pointing to her dress?" And I said to him, "Mark, I don't know." I said, you know, I didn't know why she would point to her dress. But then he said to me, "She's showing me these medallions. You know, why is she pointing? They look like medallions." And I said, "I don't know." I said, "You know, she would say novenas to the saints all the time and have these little saint medallions, you know." So I said, "Maybe that's what it is." So the reading went on like that. And there was a lot of things he said that I could not verify. All right. The next day, I go to the wake. I'm walking up to the coffin. I was completely shocked. My godmother was pointing to her dress, right? And I didn't know what that meant. I looked down at the coffin. In front of the coffin is a picture of me and my godmother. My godmother was wearing the dress she wore to my wedding. Okay? So I had no idea that she was going to do that. So that's what she meant when she was pointing to her dress. Then I sit down. I'm looking at the coffin. And I said to my husband, I said, oh, my God, look. Pinned to the top of the coffin were these scent medallions. All over the top of the coffin were these scent medallions. Again, I did not know that. So that was another thing that came through. So this happened a couple of days after her death. So apparently her spirit was strong and she was able to come through to me. But that's not the case with everyone.
But then you had a particularly close relationship with your godmother.
Exactly. I had a very, very close relationship with my godmother. And that definitely helps. You know, love is the connection on this side. And love is the connection on the other side. It connects us all the time. You cannot break that bond of love. Nothing can break that bond of love. Not death. Nothing.
Okay.
I love the yeah. certainty in Josie's yeah. language. Yeah. Nothing breaks that bond.
You had talked about evidence a couple of times, and it comes up a lot in your stories, the evidence for the other side, the evidence from people on the other side. In the people who have told you their stories and the communications, so many, many stories, because you have many books. You have at least 6 books that right. I've kept track of. Do you recall having many people talk about getting a physical object from somebody on the other side? They call it an apport, APPORT, an apport, actually something physical that just shows up. That wasn't there before, and people have said, well, this actually came from the spirit world or was brought here from the spirit world. Have you had any of those kinds of stories as well?
I had people tell me about things manifesting that were not there before, like pictures of their loved ones, jewelry, especially coins for some reason, and that has happened many times to me. That the only, you know, for me, the only time that has happened is with coins. But for something to physically manifest that wasn't there before, like a picture or a clothing item or something like that, no, that's never happened. But for me, it's been coins. So, but yes, Suzanne, people say things like that.
They do report that. I had a girlfriend who told me a story like that. Her father passed away back in the 70s, and she got herself, you know, several cars since the 1970s. And in her last vehicle, she went to take out her things at night, her purse, her briefcase, her stuff from work. And she found a comb on the floor of the back seat that had the embossed name of her father's company that he had worked for in the 1970s. And,
oh, wow.
and she said she didn't carry it around with her. She didn't have it. It wasn't in her purse. It wasn't anywhere in her car, but she found it on the floor of her new car.
Yeah. And how could that get there?
Could it get there? I mean, stories like that just completely amaze me when something physical shows up like that.
Recently, you know who Dr. Jeffrey Long is? He has a website called ADCRF, After Death Communication Research Foundation. And on his website, he has a bunch of different stories. And once in a while, I like to go read his recent accounts, okay? And there was a woman who just posted a story about the death of her son. She said I think he was like 10 years old, or he had died 10 days before, something like that, 10 days prior. And she said that she pulled into the garage and she's still sitting in her car, and she hears her son tell her to go into his, there was like a storage tub that she had in the garage with his clothes and things. And her son is telling her to go into the tub and reach to the far left. And the mother in the story is like thinking, oh my God, I'm really losing it here. But again, she hears her son's voice, Mom, go into the tub, reach out, reach for the far left. So she decides to trust that voice. She gets out of her car. She opens the lid, reaches down, far left corner as far as she can. And she says, at first, she can't feel anything. And she's really disappointed and upset, thinking, okay, I'm losing my mind. But then she hears her son again. No, Mom, no, Mom. Reach down further, Mom. And she says she feels a small object finally in the corner. And she reaches for this object, pulls it to the top, and it's a little rubber teddy bear. An object that she never saw before, didn't even know it was there. And here is her son.
Yeah.
She can clearly hear her son say, no, Ma, no, Ma, reach further, reach further. And what I loved about that story is she talked about how much comfort it brought her and how she did not think that she could have gotten through her grief had it not been for that moment, had it not been for that message. So back to the question before, you know, do these after-death communication stories, or what I like to call visits from heaven, do they help people? Do they get people through their grief? Absolutely. But I'm not writing these stories just because I'm hoping that it'll help people get through their grief. I'm writing these stories because they're real, because it's reality, you know, it's reality. So
it would be nice to think that as humans evolve, that more and more people would be able to have those communications back and forth as just part of the human experience. Right now, we go to psychics or we go to mediums and we look to other people to bring us a communication from the other side. But sometimes I think about what if we could all do that? The mediums say that we're all capable of it. We don't all pursue it. But what if in the natural course of human evolution, we were able to now communicate with our loved ones on the other side? Humanity would take a giant leap in its own maturity and its own abilities if we could all be in a place like that. And I think it would change the trajectory of what humankind is all about, don't you think?
I think absolutely. But what's interesting is if you look through history, people were more spiritual back then. And then we kind of lost that connection. But I think we are coming back full circle, you know, and we are again realizing our connection to spirit, because you're right. We don't have to go to a psychic medium. We all have the ability to connect. There are people who are more receptive to it than others, but we all have the ability to connect. Me, for example, once I had that experience with my husband's friend that died on 9/11, I mean, all these things started to happen. And I think it's because I kind of opened myself up to the whole, the whole idea of spiritual phenomena. And my life has not been the same since. So I truly hope that, my books and my stories can bring people closer to that spiritual reality. But I do think we're going to get there someday, Suzanne, definitely. We're closer to it now. We're closer than we've, you know, we're closer to it now.
The website is josievarga.com. Visit Josie's website and learn about all these great afterlife communications. And thank you so much for being with us today, Josie.
Yes, thank you, Josie. Yeah. We look forward to visit number 18.
All right, I look forward to it too, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Here's what's coming up next week on Manson Mitchell.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomes Alicia Michelle, remarkable for her astrological insights, who talks about the upcoming planetary alignments and how they may affect our economy at this time.
On Saturday, Matt Shea sits in the guest host seat and, along with Skip and Sharon Line Gang, talk about their most memorable ghost hunts and surprising after effects.
Bringing you mastery and mystery since 2007.
We are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk AM 1150.